will find in the bulletin, the Belgic Confession of Faith, article number 9, the proof of the foregoing article of the Trinity of Persons in One God. Let us go ahead and read that responsibly. All this we know as well from the testimonies of Holy Writ as from their operations, and chiefly by those we feel in ourselves, the testimonies of the Holy Scriptures that teach us to believe this Holy Trinity are written in many places of the Old Testament, which are not so necessary to enumerate as to choose them out with discretion and judgment. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, etc." And God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. And Genesis 3:22, "Behold, the man is become as one of us." From this saying, "Let us make man in our image," it appears that there are more persons than one in the Godhead. And when he says God created, he signifies the unity. It is true, he does not say how many persons there are, but that which appears to us somewhat obscure in the Old Testament is very plain in the New. For when our Lord was baptized in Jordan, the voice of the Father was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." The Son was seen in the water, and the Holy Spirit appeared in the shape of a dove. This form is also instituted by Christ in the baptism of all believers. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel thus addressed Mary, the mother of our Lord, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God." Likewise, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. In all these places, we are fully taught that there are three persons in one only divine essence. And although this doctrine far surpasses all human understanding, nevertheless, we now believe it by means of the Word of God, but expect hereafter to enjoy the perfect knowledge and benefit thereof in heaven. Amen. So we confess one God and three persons. And notice that the proof of this is the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the final authority, for God has revealed himself to us. But also God has given to us his Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit working within us. In some ways you could say it is by the establishing of something by two or more witnesses. The one witness is the Scriptures, or if you want to say the one witness or two witnesses would be the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then thirdly, by the Holy Spirit himself. And so we have abundant testimony as to the doctrine or the teaching or the revelation of God as triune, as Trinity. Notice that in our confession, they begin in Genesis chapter 1 and build upon statements like, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." God is not speaking to the angels. God is speaking within himself. We are not created after the image of angels. We are created after the image of God. And then notice they go all the way back to verse 1, Genesis 1:1, when he says God created, he signifies the unity. There in Genesis 1:1, the word God, Elohim, is a plural noun, but it's used singular in that verse. God, singular. Created. And so there you have the declaration of the three and, or the more than one, if you will, and yet the one, all in that verse. Again and again, you find the word Elohim used with as a singular and yet with that plural ending. There are other places in the scripture where God is referred to using words El, which is singular God, and yet we have both in the scripture. So there are many, many hints, as it says here. There appears somewhat obscure in the Old Testament, is made very plain in the New. And what is the reason for it being very plain? That which was obscure is all of a sudden becomes very clear. And the answer is the incarnation. Because now you see the Son speaking to the Father. And here in our text, you hear the Father speaking concerning the Son. We are also more aware of the Holy Spirit, although there are passages in the Old Testament that speak of the Holy Spirit, even in Genesis 1, verse 2. Yet it's much more clear now. We see the persons, in a sense. We understand better. And again, when Jesus established the Great Commission, in that we find the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see that in the benediction that is found in 1 Corinthians. We see that again in 1 John, and there's other places. One person said, the doctrine of the Trinity explodes on the New Testament pages. It's everywhere if you have eyes to see. It is a thrilling. Every time you see Jesus doing anything in any of the Gospels, what is he doing? He's doing the will of the Father. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is the anointed of the Lord, anointed with the Spirit of God. So we are fully taught, we understand that these three persons are the one divine essence. And the challenge is, we believe it because God said it, not because our brains figured it out on our own, or because I only believe what I can figure out, right? We talked about that before. We believe it because God says, that's who I am. And so I believe God when he says what he is, how he is, not by what I think of God. If I only believe in God with what I think of God, what is that? We would call that idolatry. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen?